Church.
Good evening.
Glad to be back.
Glad to have you back.
Young and handsome.
Tonight's lesson is a continuation of this morning. Hopefully, I can deliver God's word in such a way that we can apply it to our life and that we can grow spiritually. This morning, we discuss Christianity, Christians, on a straight and narrow road. And we found out that it was those Christians that remained, those few Christians that's on straight and narrow road, stood on the promises of Jesus Christ. They remember those scriptures, the promises Jesus made, and those who were persecuted for the righteousness in my name will be blessed in Matthew chapter 5 and 10. They remember whoever abides in Jesus, Jesus will be with them for the very end of their life. Matthew chapter 28, verse 20. See, they remember those scriptures. You seek and you shall find. You knock and the doors will be open. They remember that, Matthew chapter 77. They remember that Jesus going to a place in their father's house to prepare a place for them when they die, and the mansions in John chapter 14, verse 2. They remember that the promise of eternal life, that whoever believed him in John chapter 11, verse 25 and 26. They also believed that the Bible tells us in Matthew 16 and 16, he that believeth and baptized shall be saved. They remember those promises. And therefore, it kept them on that straight and narrow road. They never compromised. They never bent over. So tonight, we're going to look at, identify those Christians who was not on the straight and narrow road. Because, see, on that mount, when Jesus was on the mount, he was talking to the disciples and those that were around him. It's not going to be no one who's not a Christian on a straight and narrow road. So he was directing all his attention to those Christians. And he let them know how to be on that road. So we're going to find out. That's just the title of my lesson, Self-Inflicted. But before we get to that, smoke screen, I want to show you the dispensation real quick. Just so we can have just an idea for we can remember. We're talking about the patriarchal dispensation, Jew dispensation, and Christianity. That's how your Bible is made up. Those three dispensations. I want you to understand that. That's important because we talk about being in a perilous time in life. The last dispensation, Christianity, that's who we're in right now. After that's no more. There's no more dispensation after this. So we saw forgetting, just what we left off this morning, forgetting the promises of Jesus would cause some blame to God's word and blame. We're going to fill in the blank tonight. Scripture reading was Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14. It says, enter ye at the straight gates, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, will lead it to light, and few there find it. Like I said, we also understood who made it to the promise. So now let's look at who did not make it on the straight and narrow road. It's going to be those Christians that don't have the courage to stand on the promises of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. See, that Bible tells us in 2 Timothy 1 and 7, say, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, of power, and of love. He did not give it a spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind. Meaning that we have to have a courage, the courage of to stand on the promise, not just for the day, but for the rest of our lives. That's what he means by that. You see, those that are on that straight and narrow road, that's not on the straight and narrow road, gonna be those that can't deal with the obstacle that comes our way. So many obstacles that come in the Christian way daily. We have faced so many difficult challenges in our lives. See, but that Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1, see, wherefore lean, seeing we also can pass about with so great a cloud of witness. Let us lay aside every weight and sin that doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. What he's trying to tell us and let us understand that we have to sustain, maintain, and obtain that attitude that Jesus had, that mindset that Jesus had, that we can continue to have that endurance for the rest of our lives, that spiritual faith. See, those Christians who's not going to be on that straight and narrow road are those that's not maturing in the Word of God. The Bible commands us to study that, show thyself approved, 2 Timothy 2:15. They're not to be on milk, but be that, get that spiritual meat that we need to continue to grow daily. Bible. Those Christians that not on the straight and narrow are going to be the one that allow peer pressure to take their toll to them. Oh, we on peer pressure. See, some people, I know some Christians just be dealing with them. They only work when the peer pressure's on them. But we all have a contribution to the church, every last one of them. It shouldn't be because of peer pressure, someone giving peer pressure to you. It should be because the Bible tells us that a Christian should love God with all their heart, Mark 12:30. We should be doing things because of the love for God that we have, not because of peer pressure. A Christian that's not going to be on the straight and narrow road, going to be those who not renewing their minds, who not renewing their spiritual minds. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 4:23, we should renew our mind daily. The Bible also says in Romans 12:2, be not conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewal of our mind. That means we need to continue to get better as Christians. When we fall down, become better. Get stronger in the Word. Because we don't need, that's the only weapon we have to defense against Satan is the Word, the Bible. Those Christians that are not going to be on that straight and narrow road, going to be those who fail to take the opportunities that we have. Each and one of us having an opportunity to spread the gospel. We encounter so many people in our lives. We have to take that time because the Bible tells us in James 4:14, life is a vapor. It's going to vanish away. And we all got to give account to God one day. And there's going to be that one God you didn't say anything, or that one person you didn't say nothing about Christ, and they needed it the most. Not to change the story, but I recall, I was a Navy chief, and I remember talking to this young sailor. I had no idea that I really touched him in a way, but I was talking to him about God. He never responded, never went back to church. And I forgot about it about 15 years ago. Maybe it'd been 15 years after. He remembered my face and he saw me in the commissary. And he said, man, you were like an angel to me. I was gonna do something to my body. I'm gonna, you know, kill myself or something. And you came along and I was like, wow. And I had no idea I was doing that, but I'm just gonna show you the mindset that we got to have. Every opportunity you have to share and try to embrace that. And you never know who you're touching. The straight and narrow, those that are on the straight and narrow, they're not going to make it. Those Christians that's not going to be on that straight and narrow road, the one with the wrong motive, the wrong spiritual motive. We doing things for ourselves, glorify. Instead of glorifying God, we're doing it to glorify ourselves. Jeremiah 17:9 says, convey to us our hearts are capable of being deceitful. Every last one of us. It was no coincidence that Judah betrayed Jesus. His heart wasn't right at that time. And I'm going to have a series on that one day I can talk to that about. It's really complicated. Those Christians who's not going to be on that straight and narrow road, they're going to be those that are influenced by this world. The Bible commands us and tells us in Romans 12 and 2 not be conformed to this world. But yet we somehow we get influenced by this world. I tell my wife all the time, when I die, don't celebrate me. Don't celebrate. You know, you should be moaning. You know, you should be crying. That new thing, celebration of life. Nah. Moan for years. They moan for Jesus. You understand? They moan for Jesus. There was no such thing as celebrate. They was crying when Jesus died. When Lazarus died, his sisters was crying. They were moaning. But this new thing in celebration of life, I don't know about death. I'm afraid of dying. That's something unknown to me. Those Christians who not on the straight and narrow road, they're going to be those who's not relying on the strength of Jesus Christ. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9, he said to thee, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength are made perfect in the weakness. He said, Paul said, I'd rather glorify in my infirmities than have the power of Christ rest upon me. Understand what he's mean by that. He said he'd rather go through whatever he can go through, knowing that he can rely on our Savior, Jesus Christ. And that should be our mindset. Relying on the strength of Jesus Christ. Not me, not Brian, even though we love Brian. It should be relying on Jesus Christ, who can guide you through all kinds of things through this life. You know, be those Christians. Those Christians. We're still trying to figure out what Christians are not on that straight and narrow road. They're going to be the old Christian that didn't escape from the promise, the temptations of sin. We all face with temptations of sin. And God has given us a way to escape it. But sometimes we allow sin to take that toll on us. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 10 and 13, he had given us a way to escape temptation, all temptations. So the old Christian who is not on the straight and narrow road, a Christian who will compromise God's word. Those that sell out the God, sell out Jesus Christ. Those who make a settlement with Satan. Those who think it's going to be a win-win situation. I just do enough and that should be sufficient. Understanding that when we become Christian, we have already won the victory. We won the battle. All we got to sustain the battle now, to sustain the race, by doing the things and being obedient to Christ at all times. That's what he's trying to convey to us. That's what I'm trying to convey right now. Understand, if you understand when we compromise what it really means, maybe that'll get us to the older home. Get some of them, we could be on that straight and narrow road. The first step when we compromise, that's the first step of disobedience. Understand that. In 1 Kings chapter 11 and 4, Solomon allowed a peer pressure of his wife. I mean, he had 900 of them. 900, whoa. And he allowed them to make a change to other God. He started off strong. He was doing all the things, wonderful things for God. But when we start compromising the world, we start becoming disobedient to God. Number two, realize that compromise limits our ability to do what's right. Pontius Pilate in Mark chapter 15 and 15, he knew that Jesus was the Savior. He knew that Jesus didn't do nothing wrong, but he allowed that peer pressure of going, trying to help and trying to please people, compromise with the people that he He crucified our Savior, Jesus Christ.
Hmm.
So back to our title. Self-inflicted smokescreen. See, I put that up there because a smokescreen, it hides the truth, disguises the intentions, divert the intentions. It describes a behavior or situation that a person creates the confusion, distraction, and turmoil. They do that. That person, whoever self-inflicted that smokescreen. So what I'm going to do today is show you an example of a smokescreen. I'm going to get my good friend Jim. Mm. Jim, you notice that picture?
Yes.
What do you see, Jim?
It's a woman with a French hat.
What type of woman? Young, old?
She's probably about, she's young.
She's young?
Mm-hmm.
You see a young woman, huh?
Yeah. I mean, she might be in her 40s, but, you know,
that's young.
Okay. Yeah, that's she's got a nice French hat. And
a big boa.
Big boa.
Is she looking towards you or looking
back? Oh, she's looking away.
She's looking away?
Yeah.
Okay.
Hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm using that example.
You're going to be sick.
Because unfortunately, this is how we deal. This is how we deal with the scriptures.
Dog.
We read it, and we really don't really concentrate or really focus on what we should be reading and really studying and understanding. Because when I read and I look at that picture, I don't just see a young woman, I see an old lady too.
Yeah, see, yeah.
The old lady. Can you see that old lady?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
You see two faces, huh?
Mm-hmm.
The old lady and the young lady. Mm-hmm. I'm looking back, the old lady looking side.
Yeah.
Oh.
What?
Yeah.
That's the mindset.
Her chin.
Where's the old?
Yeah.
But where's the old one?
Yeah.
Now you see it, huh?
Mm-hmm.
No.
Oh, okay.
Like she's got a big chin right there, a big nose. Yeah, and big eyebrows.
See, now you put more attention to it.
Yeah.
See, this is the kind of attitude we got to have when it comes to the Word of God. Can't just take what the preacher said. Continue to dwell in the Word of God. Continue to study. Continue to massage the Scriptures. Because every time I read and study something, I always find something different. Wow, I didn't know that. I didn't realize that. The last part of the lesson is, we're going to see the results of a church that compromised themselves. That compromised, and we're talking about a church now, that compromised themselves. We're going to talk about the church in Pergamos. Pergamos, just say. Pergamum. Let me describe that city. That city was known. First of it is part of the Roman Empire. But that church, that city was known for worshiping the emperor. It was the first city that worshiped the first emperor. Second, they were known for parchment and scrolls, meaning that paper. They produced paper. They produced books. And all scholars and philosophers used to gather into this city. They was popular for that. Third, they had the second largest library at this place located there. So like I said, everybody gathered there. All the smart guys, all the scholars there. So how that interfered with the church? Because some of those smart guys, some of those scholars, what happened? Start creeping, some of that knowledge started creeping into the church, creating a compromise. And we'll get to that. And like I said, it built an 800-foot altar and worshiped it, that altar. And what's significant about that is the Roman Empire had, if you wasn't a citizen and you didn't have a certificate saying you worshiped the emperor, you could not buy or sell anything. You couldn't make an arm, you couldn't make a living. Understand? So that affected the Christians. So, and it's saying that you had Christians who had children watching the kids starve to death because they couldn't supply food to give them. And understand what going the Christians are going through. I want to make sure you understand what the Christians are going through. It's not like you and I can, we can walk here and sit in the church and worship God. I put that in there because just to show you that that was the first emperor. And you see it in Luke chapter 2 and verse 1. But this method of persecution the Roman Empire was doing to these Christians, burning them alive, crucifying them, exiling them. You're no longer part of the city. You got to find yourself. Not giving a ride nowhere. You just got to get out of here. Putting them in prison, destroying churches. So you would think they would have some kind of excuses, right? That they have no money, have nowhere to run to. God should be a little grateful for that. But they come here, they worshiping God. Every Sunday they worshiping God. So now we're here. Let's read it. And to the angels of the church of Pergamum, right? These things said he, which has a sharp sword with two edges. Jesus is letting you know that the word of God is like a two-edged sword. What I mean by that, I'm going to show you what it means by that. It means that it cuts you. The word of God should be able to cut you. When you're doing something wrong, it should be able to cut you right through the heart. And you do, if you love God that much. And I put the seven P's on here. See the word of God, when he found a two-edged sword, I said it's perfect. It's powerful. It pierces you. It should be able to penetrate you in a way that you won't, you stop doing what's wrong. You will stop sinning. It should prick your heart, just like those 3,000 souls that were saved on the day of Pentecost. It persuades you to do the right thing. It only if you follow God's perception, they're not yours. God's eyes are more powerful than ours. That's what he's trying to tell us, convey to us. Let's keep going. But you got to love God with all your heart. He said, I know thy works. And where thou dwell, even where Satan see. See, that first emperor house was there. They were worshiping him. He said, I know that. If thou hold fast to my name, have the endurance, continue to be steadfast in the God's word. And had not denied my faith, even those days where Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you, where Satan dwells. They had an elder who had showed them how to worship God, how to continue to be and have that endurance to worship God. And the elder, this is what happened to the elder. And when I put that picture up there, it's a pig, a bull, or something. And the guy was roasted alive, persecuted. He's roasted alive. Understand that. So I kind of put that picture up there for you to see. Because I want you to feel the scriptures when you read it. But then God is telling. There's no compromise here. You have to have the endurance to keep moving forward, despite what's going on. The Bible tells us, Jesus says in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 22, and you shall be hated for all men for my name's sake. But he that endureth to the end shall be saved. See, that's a prime example of how you can endure and continue to move forward for Christ. You got to be willing to die for the cause of Christ. You got to be willing to carry your cross. We have to recognize enduring the cry, preparing ourselves. We must be committed to Jesus. Not 95%, but 100%. Learn how to enjoy being a Christian when things are difficult, when things are not going our way. when things are sad and we moan. Learn, that's the part. We know how to enjoy being a Christian when everything is great and wonderful. But when things are tough, that's when that compromising, though, our faith come in the picture. But he's trying to teach us, we got to continue to do that, because those are things, those are people that are going to be on the straight and narrow road, the ones that can withstand. Paul went through so many setbacks. Jesus was perfect, and yet he went through the worst crucifixion you could ever imagine. We got to follow our leader, Jesus Christ, no matter what it takes. And he goes on to give him a few things I have against you. Now, we're talking about a church who is getting persecuted. I mean persecuted. Do not forsake the assembly. They're still worshiping God. They got a few problems here, but they worshiping God. And Jesus said, well, I got a few things against you. Yeah, I have a few things against thee, because thou has them that hold the doctrine about Balaam, who taught Balaam to cast stumbling block before children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed to idols, and to commit fornication. When he's talking about Balaam, he's talking about, I don't know if you remember the story of the Numbers. Balaam was a guy who had material motives. He was doing great things for God, but he's gonna have to cost you. It's gonna cost you, though. You're gonna cost you some money. You want me to do this? Give me some money. Give me some money. At the time, Israelites, it's in Numbers chapter 22, it's in, Israelites was doing well. And Moabites was trying to convince Balak to convince them to steal Israel somewhere else to the wicked, make them come wicked. And he enticed them with money and money and money, and eventually he said yes, and he did it. That's how that battle coming out. So we keep going and move forward. So thou hast also them that hold the doctrine of Nicolaitans, which things are hid. Nicolaitans are people that let you know that you can commit these sins. You can commit sins. You got grace. You got God's grace. And you can be okay with those sexual immoralities, those sexual behaviors. Kind of things. You'll be great long as you, because you got Jesus. That grace is sufficient. So he was trying to permit them to do that, go that direction. So he's telling them to what? Repent. Or else I will come again thee quickly, will fight against them with sword of the mouth. Understanding this, church, when we get ready to close this up. They were in sin because they compromised. They compromised God's word. And all they wanted to do, let me finish reading before I go there. That he that hath ear, let him hear what the Spirit said to the church. To him that overcome, will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone and stones of a new name written, which no man knows, saying he that received it. See, all the church, all they wanted to do is have peace. That's all they wanted. They wanted to have peace in this world. But in order to have peace in the world, they chose to compromise God's word. They have to allow, you got to allow the word of God to penetrate your heart. They have an example of endurance and animals. But they still went astray. They caved into society because they experienced all kind of difficulty, like that word of peace. Bible tells us, Jesus tells us, we gonna never have peace in this world. When you're preaching and teaching God's word, you're gonna always have difficulties. When you walking worthy of God, when you have a mind of Christ, you're never going to have peace. You're never going to have, because Jesus never had peace in this world. He had peace within himself. He had peace within God. See, the Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 10, verse 34, Think not, Jesus said, think not that I came to send peace on this earth. I came not to send peace, but the sword. So you understand that? That peace is not coming. Jesus also said in John chapter 14, verse 27, peace I leave with you. My peace I give it to you, not as the world give it. I give it to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. See, the peace he gave it to us when we learn and we continue to renew our minds in his word, that's the peace we're going to have. The peace of understanding that we don't have to compromise to the world, but we got to continue to stand fast in the word of God, continue to be unmovable, because the treasure that we're going to have is going to be in heaven. We're going to live eternal life for the rest of our life. We're not going to be dealing with the brimstones of this world. Our souls are not going to be lost. And that's what he was trying to get this church to. Let that word penetrate our hearts. And see, we should right now, we should look at that as an example. That's for our learning. Let it penetrate our hearts that we can become better Christians. Remove all the deficiencies that's in our lives. And that's my lesson for the day. And I see we have, let me give you our plan of salvation if you're not a Christian. You have to hear the word of God. The Bible tells us in Acts chapter 2 and 37. Now when they heard, they were pricked to their hearts how they crucified the Lord and Savior. He preached to them the death, the burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You have to believe. The Bible tells in John 3 and 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Do you believe in Jesus Christ today? Do you believe that Jesus is going to give you promise to give you eternal life? You got to repent. The Bible tells in Luke 13:3, I tell you, nigga, except you repent, you shall likewise perish. This is your opportunity. Tomorrow is never promised. You could got to confess the sweetest name in the Bible. The Bible tells in Matthew chapter 10, verse 32, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will confess before my Father which is in heaven. See, God don't want none of us to perish. All you have to do is confess Jesus Christ, and you'll be a candidate for baptism. The Bible tells in Galatians chapter 3 and 27, then you have been baptized in Christ and put on Christ. This is your opportunity. Tomorrow, like I said, is never promised to you. Take advantage of this opportunity and become a child of God, and you will have eternal life. Once again, I'd like to thank you, God, for your undivided attention. May God continue to bless you, God. Thank you. And we have here, forgetting the promise of Jesus would cause some to compromise God's word to have peace. That church wanted peace in the world, but they did it by compromising God's word. We can't have that. So I hope that's an example.